Appreciate your presence tonight. Pray the Lord bless us together as we study another portion of His Word. I know I've talked about prayer a number of times here lately, but it just seems like it's kind of like wanting to take that diamond and turn it just a little bit and get a different perspective. Perhaps some of the same truths, but other examples in Scripture. You know, when we find in the Scriptures that Jesus taught a lesson, either an object lesson, a parable, or just something plain that was going on around about them, or that the people that was listening to him would readily understand. When Jesus did that, let me ask you a question. Do you think there would be anything that could ever teach the lesson better? Thank you. All right, and that's the way we need to read the Scriptures. When you read it, and when you read something that, when Jesus makes an illustration, rest assured, there might be one just as good, but there's nothing better. If there was anything better to teach the lesson, he would have used it, because he has perfect knowledge. He doesn't stumble with words like I do, you know, or he doesn't try to form a thought or whatever. I mean, he was able to preach the perfect lesson. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is a perfect manifestation of everything that God's Word teaches in the way of righteousness and holiness and goodness and mercy and love and all of those things. He's the Word embodied. You remember he told Philip, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Perfect in every way. So when we read this Word, it's not just a collection of stories. It's a God who has all knowledge and all wisdom, conveying to us what we need to know about His Word. Now, if every time we pick this book up, if we could have that perspective and that attitude as we're reading this Word, I think it would help us to have more respect for it, don't you? Mm-hmm. We should. This is the perfect, pure, preserved, inerrant Word of God. Okay. I'm going to notice two passages, one in Luke chapter 11 is where we'll start. While you're turning to Luke chapter 11, we've got many examples in Scripture where there were those who continued to ask for their needs. You know that? Years ago, I heard somebody say we ought not to pray for the same thing twice. Just pray for once by faith and leave it there. Well, that's not biblical. I pray for many things over and over and over. And I'm thankful that it's not my praying that's dependent upon something being done. Because in addition to our praying, we also have the Holy Spirit. We'll touch on that in a minute. But the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 talks about the Spirit also. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I don't know if I'll get into it when we talk about that in a moment, but Robertson's Word Pictures is a book where he gives illustrations oftentimes for passages, and that particular passage where it says, "Likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities." I've used it before. It's like somebody that's in the Olympics when they're trying to do the high jump, and they're trying to jump over that bar, and they just can't make it. They can't jump high enough. They can't clear it. But it says, with praying, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It's like that person has some help lifting them over the bar. Beyond what they're able to do, God comes along and helps us. And oh, he does that in so many ways, but he also does it in our praying. Isn't that encouraging? All right. Maybe you found Luke chapter 11 by now. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place. Remember, Jesus prayed often. And he didn't pray because he needed answers. He prayed to commune with the Father. Now, the Father did tell him all that he said, you know, the things that he did was what the Father told him to do. The things that he said was what the Father gave him to say, all right? But he spent a lot of time in prayer. There's a clue. There's a clue that we need to do the same thing. Spend much time in prayer. Do we spend enough time in prayer? I see a lot of this. Well, what's hindering us? Oh, yeah, that was quick. Yeah. Okay. Well, could we do better? Should we do better? Will we do better? All right. All right. So we need to. And here's an area that we could all stand some improvement. All right. I know I'm working on it too. Maybe that's why it's on my mind so much. Jesus was in a certain place, praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now that's John the Baptist, isn't it? John the Baptist was the forerunner for Christ. He also had some disciples. And when Jesus came on the scene, John said he must increase and I must decrease. And there were those of his disciples who left John and began to follow Jesus. That's just the way it ought to be. Okay? But John had taught his disciples to pray. Okay? And so what Jesus gives us then, first of all, is the model prayer. We know that one, don't we? Perhaps we use it. I use it at times. I incorporate that in my praying. It just seems to set my mind in the right frame of mind by the time I get to the end of the model prayer to begin to pray those other things that's on my heart. So he gave us a model prayer, but he didn't stop there. Now remember, when they asked him, teach us to pray, and he gave them the model prayer, but then he keeps talking. Then he gives them an object lesson. And remember, if he gave them a lesson, it was the very best. I mean the top shelf, the best lesson to help us in praying. All right? And we could all benefit from looking at what Jesus tells us. And I mean, you're probably familiar with this, but I'm talking about from time to time, just refresh ourselves. We have a tendency to forget some things sometimes, don't we? So it's good. That's why we need to keep reading scriptures, because it's good that it keeps it fresh in our mind. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we understand that they're asking, teach us how to pray. You know, we need to know how to pray, don't we? And I can say that with perfect assurance, because the scripture said, Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. And a lot of that has to do, now we can know a lot about how to pray. But what that's talking about is at any moment in time, we may not have a real clear understanding of just exactly what we need to be praying for at that moment. Not only that, but our own personal desires cloud the picture sometimes, and maybe we spend more time praying about some things when we ought to be praying more about something else. So we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our praying, because he's got all the answers. He knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit knows the mind of God, all right? So because it's the same mind, all right? So, so Jesus, first of all, gave us the model prayer, then he teaches a lesson. All right, let's read it. I'm not going to read the model prayer, but in verse 5. Well, I don't know. Let's get the model prayer. Some of you may not have read it recently. Verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Have you memorized the model prayer? You know, when I was going through school, we'd say that every morning. I didn't have a problem with that. People have a big problem with that nowadays, don't they? People don't even want you to say Pledge of Allegiance anymore. But rather than getting on those things, that's how I learned what they call the Lord's Prayer. I prefer to call it the Model Prayer. All right? That's how I learned it in school. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Old Testament that I learned in school because I had a teacher that would start each day reading Bible stories to us. She had a book that covered the travels of the children of Israel in the wilderness. I learned an awful lot about the Old Testament, and it was based on the King James, by the way. Whenever it would quote a verse, it would quote a King James verse. I appreciate that. However we can learn the Word of God, I appreciate that. All right, so the model prayer that Jesus gives us. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, this is Luke's account of it. Matthew's is a little different, but it's the same principles. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Isn't that so important that we pray thy will be done? Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he said to them, now listen carefully. Here's a lesson you won't find any better to go along with a model prayer. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Do you have a friend that you know well enough, that loves you enough, that you could go to their house at midnight and knock on their door and ask them for something? You probably do, but you better have a good reason for it. Right? I mean, we just see the situation here. All right, but now this is our Lord. And we could enjoy this, but this is our Lord giving us the very best illustration to go along with this model prayer. Because there's something about telling somebody this is what we need to do. We need to pray more often. Okay. But then Jesus is going to give us a lesson here that's going to say this is about more, a whole lot more than just friendship. There's something a whole lot more about what he's about to say here that should really come home to us and help us to understand why prayer is so important. All right? So, which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You can imagine somebody saying that, can't you? You can imagine somebody saying, go home. I'm in bed. My children are in bed. Go home. You can just imagine somebody saying that. Even though you told them, well, somebody's come to my house, they're hungry, and I don't have anything to give them. I could still hear him saying, go home. Leave me alone. Can't you? All right? Now remember, I think I quoted this recently, 1 John chapter 3. John is talking about the love of God and the kind of love we ought to have for one another. And he said, but whoso, verse 17, 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Isn't that kind of what this person's experiencing? Somebody's come to them, they've expressed there's a need, and evidently this person has what could be used to fill that need, and they're turning them away instead of doing something about it. So we're talking about prayer here, but it involves something else. It involves love, doesn't it? Love for God, love for one another, love for his commands, love for his word, love for doing what the word of God tells us that we ought to be doing so that we can show our love to him, because every time we keep his commandments, we're showing that we love him. Right? If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, we're saying, I love you, Lord. I like that way of saying, I love you, Lord. Now, any way of saying, I love the Lord is good, but that's the best. When we're keeping his commandments, so because we're not only just saying the words, we're doing something that shows that we love the Lord. Well, this person had a friend that came to him at midnight. They were in bed. Their children were in bed. And they're knocking on the door. And you're not going to the door. Lots of times you wouldn't want to go to the door, would you? All right? So the person inside said, trouble me not. The door's now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. All right? He's not going to do it just because he's a friend. Yet, because of his importunity. Boy, that's a big word. What does that mean? What's that mean? Can't hear you. Sounds like we need this lesson. Because of his, so he's not going to get up and open the door and give the person what they need just because they're a friend. That's a good reason. You'd do a lot of things for your friend, wouldn't you? Right. I dare say everybody here, if their friend came to the door, now I suspect that you're the kind of folks who would get up and go to the door. All right? But here he's saying, not in this situation, it's something more than friendship. It's going to take something more than friendship to get them up and get them to satisfy the need. And it's this word called importunity. All right? Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Let me illustrate what importunity is. Open up. Open up. Open. You just keep doing it until they come to the door. Now, they might have a gun in their hand. But the point is, this is persistence. And it's really to the point of shameless asking. I mean, you might ask somebody for something, and if it doesn't work out, you leave it alone. You let it go. But this is the kind of person that just keeps asking over and over and over until they get the answer they're looking for. That's what that word importunity represents. Shamelessly asking. Just keep on asking. Now, why in the world would the Lord tell us this kind of a story, an illustration about praying? He wants us to keep asking. Do you mean sometimes we quit too soon? And what happens if we quit too soon? Sometimes you don't get the answer. Sometimes you don't show the commitment. Sometimes it's a lack of faith, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to say that anything you want, you can get as long as you just ask long enough. That's not what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is we're on God's timetable and not our own. And sometimes it just pleases the Father to wait. But it also pleases Him for us to keep asking. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, all right, he said and. He didn't say but. He says and. So this illustration of this person who would just shamelessly keep on asking until something happened. You know, there's an acronym that people like nowadays, and I do too. They use push. Pray until something happens. That's kind of what we're talking about here, isn't it? Pray until something happens. All right? Now, there's more to it than just praying, all right? So the Lord says, after they've asked him to teach us to pray, and he gave the model prayer, so he gave some of the words. But this illustration now is more about how we need to do it and how we need to continue in prayer. And how did the Lord describe it? Keep on asking. Now, we're talking about serious praying. And when you're seriously praying, you're asking for the Lord's help, and the Spirit is going to help you, right? Now, what we said, Romans chapter 8, let me make sure I'm quoting it right. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Sometimes when we're praying, we don't exactly know what to ask for. Sometimes we feel a need, but we don't really know how to describe it. Sometimes we see a need, but we don't know what the answer is. See, there's plenty of things we don't know. But God does. Right? And He knows it every time. And He knows it before we even ask about it. All right? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Is that just some of us? No, I submit to you, that's all of us. We know how to pray. We know some of the needs that we have. But we don't exactly know exactly what we need to be asking for at times. Because, our own personal feelings oftentimes get in the way of what God's answer would be. I mean, let's just pick something like Saul of Tarsus. Who in the world would have picked Saul of Tarsus to be the most ardent defender of the faith later, you know, after the other apostles? Who would have done that? Who was praying for that? I dare say nobody was praying for that. And yet God chose to use Saul of Tarsus, struck him down, turned him around, opened his eyes, opened his heart, and blessed him mightily in the preaching of the gospel and defending the faith. Wow. But nobody in the church at that time, I'm satisfied. Now, there might have been, but I'm satisfied just that there was probably nobody praying that way. And yet look how mightily God worked. You know, when Peter was in prison and the church was praying for him, and what happened? Prison just opened up. And Peter went to where they were praying, was knocking on the door. Little Rhoda came to the door. I guess she was little. I've always heard that she was. Came to the door and saw it was Peter, or heard it. It sounded like him. She didn't believe it was him. What were they praying for? You would think they were praying that he'd be released, that he'd be spared. Maybe they were praying that he would be spared, but didn't think that he'd be released and come to him that night. You know, there's a lot of leeway here, but my point is they were surprised, even though they were having a prayer meeting. My point is we need the Spirit to mold our asking. And when we feel like the Spirit's in it, we need to keep praying it and keep praying and keep praying. Jesus would not have given us such an illustration if there weren't times that we're going to need to keep asking before God is pleased to manifest the answer. But it's up to Him and not us. It's up to His will and not ours. It's His power because we don't have any. And until we get to the point where we're sincerely saying, "Thy will be done," we're not praying in the Spirit. So we can enjoy this lesson that Jesus gave us and how he went about describing it and just imagine how that would play out. But the whole point is, we need to keep praying. Keep asking. Because the more we pray and the more we're sincere about our praying, the more closely we get to His will. And the promise we have, 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence we have. Let me turn to that. Let me quote it right. 1 John 5. Take the time to get it right here. 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will..." Have you ever been guilty of asking, but it wasn't God's will? I have. Come later to find out it must have been that way. I know for a fact there's things early on in my praying years that I prayed for, and it was just in ignorance. It was my desires. And sometimes we even bring our plans to the Lord and ask Him to bless them instead of asking to know His will. There's all kinds of reasons, but this is the confidence. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. So those verses, powerful. They're very intriguing, aren't they? Not like the world that would take this, you know, the world tells you to name it and claim it. You know. But it all centers around praying sincerely and the Spirit molding our will to be in line with His will. Then what we're asking for, if it's according to His will, then He's hearing. Then that Spirit's helping our infirmities and lifting it up to the Father. We don't know how to pray sometimes. And all the time, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But, oh, we've got a helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to help us and to lift up our prayers appropriately to the Father. All right, so he says, and I say unto you, after he's given us how to pray and, well, what to, some of the words to use as a model to give us some idea of how we ought to pray, then how we need to go about it. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Wow. That tells me that there's no doubt in my mind that I have missed some blessings, that I have missed some opportunities because I didn't ask enough. I didn't seek enough. I didn't knock enough. But isn't that what Jesus said? Because of the importunity, because the person kept asking, his will, the one that was hearing the knocking, came around to the will of the one doing the knocking. All right? So what we're saying is, Jesus gave us the illustration here. Keep asking. Ask, seek, and knock for the answers that we're looking for. I can't tell you that if you just do that, then all your prayers are going to be answered. Because again, we're coming to God's will. Thy will be done. And it's his timetable, not ours. All right? Now there are times when God is pleased to come to someone's rescue. We know that. We're thankful. We trust that if we have a real need, bless your hearts, we can trust the Lord. All right? But in our praying, there are so many times that we don't ask as much as we should. We don't seek as much as we should. We don't knock as much as we should. And we're missing out on some blessings. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Verse 10. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Okay. In this, over in Matthew chapter 7, you'll find some of the similar language. Let me just keep reading here, because I want to get down to the end of this lesson here. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If your child asks for bread, would you give him a rock, a stone? No. He can't eat that. It doesn't satisfy the need. Okay? Or if he asks a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Would you hand them a snake if they ask for a fish? That snake is liable to hurt them. You as a father or a mother wouldn't give something to your child that's going to hurt them, would you? Okay. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Same problem here. You know enough. You love your children enough. You're not going to do that. Is God going to do that? No. And that's what he's driving at. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. He gave us some illustrations here and said, you wouldn't do that. As a parent, you wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be appropriate. It wouldn't fill the need. It might even harm them. You wouldn't do that. Well, how much more does our Father in heaven know what we need and is able to supply exactly what we need, and he's not going to do something that will harm us? How much more is our Father in heaven better equipped to answer our prayers than our earthly parents? You can't imagine how much more, how much better God can answer our prayers than we can fill the needs of our children. Now, in Matthew, when he goes over this in Matthew chapter 7, he says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask? Now, as a good Bible student, we need to reconcile those two. How is it that good gifts equals the Holy Spirit? The similar passage, I mean, everything is so similar that he's talking about the same thing, yet one writer says the Holy Spirit, where another says good gifts. If we're going to understand what he's talking about here, we need to see how those two represent the same thing. Don't we? They're not using the same passage to teach something different. If it's a good gift, how much more shall your heavenly Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask? If it's going to be a good gift, it has to be according to his will. That's when he hears us, and that's when he answers. Also, we noticed Romans 8:26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Not only does the Spirit help lift it up to God, but the Spirit also brings it to us. So when we pray according to God's will and God is pleased to answer our prayers and give those good things, it also involves the Holy Spirit. Because we need the Spirit to pray like we should, and the Spirit answers us. To my understanding, that's how those two go together. We need the Spirit. That's how it lifted up. That's how it comes back to us. And it has to be in accordance to his will in order for it to be good, in order for him to be pleased to grant it. So you see here, he's teaching us an awful lot here. In that there's things that we need to be asking for, and he gave us several elements in that model prayer that we need to be mindful of, part of which is to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need that. I don't know how often we pray that, but we need that every day. We need it. We're out in public. Those of you that are still in school, when we're on our jobs, when, especially out on a job where, well, like Brother Kenneth and Brother Jonathan, they're out tromping in the woods, and every now and then they kill poisonous snakes. You know, that's a dangerous situation. If you get on the highway, you're in a dangerous situation. You never know when, you know, something's going to happen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need that deliverance. We need that mindset every day. Now, I told you two passages. This is Luke 11, where Jesus was teaching that. Now I want to go over to Luke 18. A similar lesson. Some similar thoughts and method. All right, Luke 18. Here happens to be a passage where Jesus, in the very beginning of it, tells us why he's giving it. Not too many of those. But he says, Luke chapter 18, and he spake a parable. Oh, if he's going to give a parable, it's got to be the best one to illustrate the point again, right? All right. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's the reason. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not give up. Isn't that kind of similar to this other passage we noticed back in Luke chapter 11? The person said, no, go away. I'm in bed. I've got my children in bed. The door's shut. Go away. And that person could have gone away and not gotten an answer that they were looking for. But they kept knocking. Because of their importunity, because they didn't give up, because they kept asking, they got the answer that they needed. And that was a real need. That wasn't just some desire, that was a real need. And they got an answer by being persistent in asking. All right, here's another situation. And Jesus said the reason that he gave this parable was so that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Similar lesson, isn't it? But different circumstances. Different problem, different characters, but much the same lesson. And guess what? Much the same method. Don't give up. All right? So, Luke 18. Gave this parable, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. Boy, we got some of those around today, don't we? Neither regarded man. In other words, he did what he wanted to. He's not going to think about what other people are going to think about. He's just going to do what he wants to do. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Somebody had taken advantage of her. Somebody had done something they shouldn't have to her. Either took something from her or kept her from getting what was hers or whatever the situation might be. Somebody had done something wrong against her. Now, here's a widow, and the implication is that she doesn't have any way to fix the problem except what God has ordained for government to do, to punish evildoers so that it'll be a blessing to those who do what's right. Now, that's the purpose of government. That's what God ordained. Romans chapter 13. You want to go read about it sometime. Romans chapter 13, he explains that very clearly. That's the purpose of God. That's why our police cars, on the side of them, it says to protect and serve. You know, that's their purpose. They're supposed to protect us from evildoers, from those that are doing wrong. So this widow, somebody did something wrong to her, and she goes to the judge. She's taken the opportunity to use what God has put in place, but he's not listening to her. Been there? You know, it happens all the time. We try to do what we can to fix a problem, and people won't work with us. People won't listen to us. What's she supposed to do? Go home? Forget about it? Get over it? What's she going to do? A lot of folks would just go home and suffer the wrong. What's she going to do? She came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She came to this judge, okay, that didn't fear God, neither did he regard man. And he would not for a while. He wouldn't hear. She says, avenge me. In other words, help me. Help me with my problem. And he would not listen. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She kept coming back. What happened? To get rid of her, the judge listened to her and took care of the problem so she didn't have to hear from this widow. All right? Now, this is not saying that's the way God is. That's not where we're going with this. He is illustrating a principle that you know has happened many, many times. Because they kept asking, they got help. They got the answer. And the Lord said, all right, he gave us this parable now. Now he's going to explain it, or he's going to comment on it. Hear what the unjust judge saith. All right? That rascal that wouldn't listen to her for a while, that wouldn't do what's right, that wouldn't fulfill what the purpose of government's all about. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And what did he say? Because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, he would do what she's asking for just because she was troubling him. Now listen, we never trouble God with our prayers. Nothing is too small to pray about. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small for the Lord to handle or to be willing to deal with for us. And nothing's too big for him to handle. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And we have problems at times. God is able to give us what is needed. I'm not saying he'll always give us what we ask for. I'm saying he'll give us what we need in the situation, that it will be a blessing and a help to us. So the Lord says, hear what the unjust said, judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? You know, and that makes me think that this widow was going to the judge wouldn't hear. So she was going home and crying to the Lord, and the Lord heard her. The Lord heard her prayers. The judge didn't, but the Lord did. Which is better? The Lord can change that judge. The Lord can make something happen. All right? So, shall not God avenge his own elect, his people, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now see, that's why don't expect it to be on your timetable. It's when it pleases the Lord. Because he says here, although he bear long with them. All right? Whatever. You know, when we pray, it's kind of like we've got blinders on and all we see is our little world. That's just natural. But there's a whole lot of other things going on in this world. And sometimes other things need to happen before what we're thinking about is ready to happen. God sees the whole picture. We just know a little bit. And so we need to just pray, thy will be done. I've even had to pray, Lord, help me to see your will. Help me if what I'm asking for is not what pleases you, then help me to see what does please you. But he works on all things. We just see a little bit. That's why it's necessary for our will to be molded to His. And it doesn't happen after the first prayer sometimes, does it? We just, you know, we need to keep praying, keep praying, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Okay? Ask, seek, knock. All right? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Now again, that sounds like you could get the answer right away. But when you look up that word, when He's talking about speedily, the word does mean shortly. But now, we have to remember that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. You know, many times in the Old Testament, God speaks about things that wouldn't happen for 400 years. But it happened. And it happened just like He said it would. Okay? So not only is it shortly, the word also carries the idea of unexpectedly. And you've probably had that happen. You were praying for one thing, and God did something else. And usually it's better than what you were asking for. Absolutely. Unexpectedly. God can do that. He oftentimes does that, doesn't He? I remember being burdened down with something years ago, and I just actually said the words in my prayer, and you probably have too. Lord, I don't know how this can happen, but it's the burden of my heart for it to happen. And it did. And I was amazed. I'm not going to go into the details, but I was just floored that something could happen like that. God can do that. Amen. We can't put Him in a box. He's going to do His will. Sometimes it's unexpectedly. But He will avenge them speedily. All right? Nevertheless. Now this, as this verse continues, it seems like it's kind of gone off in a different direction. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Nevertheless. Why did He say nevertheless? Well, what this boils down to is that sometimes in our asking, sometimes in our seeking, sometimes in our knocking, we wonder if God's hearing us. But we should never question God's faithfulness. The question is our faithfulness. Nevertheless, we see what He said, that He would avenge them speedily. That widow kept asking, and finally, even though it was a weariness to that judge, the Lord says, hear what the judge said, all right? And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night, though He bear long with them? Nevertheless, He said, I'll avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, we may give up on God. We may stop asking. We may stop seeking. We may stop knocking. But God's faithful. So the question is not whether God is faithful. The question is whether we're going to be faithful. Are we going to keep asking? Are we going to keep seeking? Are we going to keep knocking until He shows us the answer that He is pleased to give? Shall He find faith on the earth? Now we mentioned lately that faith is spoken of in various ways in the Scripture. There are going to be those who are waiting for His coming. They're going to be faithful. You know, the word tells us Paul talks about when Jesus comes again, there's going to be some that are asleep, that he's going to raise from the dead, and there's some that's going to be alive and remain. He said that to the, he's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So God's going to have a people still on this earth when he comes. God knows who he's going to give faith to. You know, he knows his children. He knows when he's going to cause them to be born of his spirit and have his spirit within them so that they have faith. He knows that, so he's not asking about that. But again, what he's asking for is faithfulness. Are we going to be faithful to his word? His word tells us, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking for the answers that we need. It's not a matter of continuing to relentlessly keep asking the same thing, because it may be that our will needs to be molded to his. But we do need to keep asking. We do need to keep seeking. Every day, there's things that we need every day. There's things that our family needs. There's things that this church needs. There's things that this community needs. There's things that we need to be praying for every day. And I suspect that there's lots of days that go by that we don't ask for some of those things. There's a lot more asking that we need to be doing. We need to be more faithful. We need to be more tenacious. We need to have more of that importunity about our asking. We might find some of those answers we're looking for. Jesus gave us these two illustrations. A lot of similarity about how, and it should be if it's the same principle teaching us how we need to continue to ask. Then he gave us two illustrations here that they could readily understand, and we should be able to take this and apply it to our own lives. Are we asking like we should? Are we seeking like we should? Are we knocking like we should? Sometimes we need to keep asking, right? Keep asking. I'm satisfied we've given up too soon on a lot of things. May God help us to pay more attention to his word and follow what he's taught us. May God bless you, is our prayer. Amen. Yeah. And kind of like what somebody said one time, prayer may not change your circumstances, but it'll change you. Right. Sometimes we need that, don't we? And there's times when we know what we need and we pray and the Lord answers and provides. It all comes back to his will. We just need to follow by faith, stay faithful to him, don't give up on God, and don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on prayer. It certainly can. We've seen that in our life. I hope you have too. Someone have a number to close with?